Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin the next of the halachas in Sefer Noshim, the Book of Women, which we discussed the Hilchas Ishes, the laws of marriage, Hilchas Gerushin. We're in those halachas, we discuss the laws of divorce and also that of another way the woman goes free to remarry, which is when he dies. And that continues the next Hilchas Yibum V'Chalitza, which is the laws when a man dies without any children, that then his wife has to do Yibum, which is to either marry her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, or V'Chalitza, which is if they don't want to get married, then he does this type of divorce for the widow. Which there are 8 parakim in these halachas. This parak is going to be discussing regarding the obligation of Yibum V'Chalitza, the halachas relates to tsaris, to the co-wives, and the kareves, the relatives, also regarding the obligation of waiting after the death. Parak Beis continues on this theme regarding the obligations of Yibum, specifically the how to do Yibum, the consent of both sides, and the prohibition of the Yavama to marry someone else. In the meantime, what's called the Ister Lazar. And in the third parak, finally, regarding the belief of the trustworthiness of those who are testifying regarding the fact of the husband's death. Then in Perek Dalet, the Rambam continues on to Mitzvah Chalitza, which is the other option of that of divorcing the Yavama, and the different texts of the documents relating to Chalitza. Then the final 4 parakim in Perek Hay, Rambam is going to discuss the different computations of when there's Maimer, which is this type of Kiddushin that's done for Yibum, with Get, and cohabitation, and Chalitza, all the different cases that could come out from that. Perek Vav, which is the primary theme of the last 4 parakim regarding the brothers and the Yavamas, those that are fit to do Yibum and Chalitza. Perek Zayin discusses when there's many brothers and there's many Yavamas. And Perek Ches discusses different situations of doubt as they relate to these halachas. So Rambam begins, he says, Yesh b'chlol and shalosh mitzvahs. In these halachas of Yibum Chalitza, this categorical 3 commandments. Shtei mitzvahs, say 2 positive commandments. A mitzvah achas, let's say 1 negative prohibition. And these are the specifics. First of all, aleph liyabim, the mitzvah to do yibum, as we explained regarding when the husband died without any children, to marry the brother-in-law. Lachlitz, the Rambam then mentions chalitza afterwards, as he quotes later on the Halacha Beis, that ideally first you do yibum, if not, then he does chalitza to his sister-in-law. And mitzvah gimel is the loisa say, that the Yivama, which is the woman who is her husband passed away and she has not done Yimu Chalitza with the Yivama, with her Yavam, so she should not marry a foreign person, anyone else, until the rights of the Yavam are not removed from her, which is in either one of those 2 ways of Yimu Chalitza. And as Rambam explains, Vaisha she ruli yibim nikras, because the woman that's fit for have yibim to done to her is called zekukal yibim. She's considered attached to the mitzvah of yibim. Or shusha yavim nikras, and the rights of the yavim on her, that right is called zika, which the terminology of zika means the terminology of a connection. As it says, pasuk in Eve, vesasurim bezikim, those who are chained in the knot. Because every yavama is attached and bound to her yavim until he either does Yibum or Chalitza. Uber mitzvahs elu b'parakim elu, and explanation of these 3 mitzvahs are in these chapters. So the Rambam begins Perek Rishon, as we explain, here we open up with the obligation, that of the different co-wives and the relatives, and the obligation of waiting after the death of her husband. Halacha alf, mitzvahs aseim in ha-Torah, a positive commandment from the Torah is she-yabim odem eshes achav me'aviv, that a person should do Yibum on his brother that he has from the same father, what's called his paternal brother. I mean, they share the same father. And Beimin and Nesu'in, whether she was widowed from marriage, Beimin and Nesu'in, whether only from halachic engagement, it may spolei Zera, if he dies without any children, like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chafei, Uvein Ein Loi, that he doesn't have a son, so Yavama, Yavu Yaleha, so her Yavam, which is her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, should cohabit with her. Now, Omen HaTorah, according to biblical law, we'll see rabbinically otherwise, but according to biblical law, in the Tzorch LeKadosh Yevimto, he does not have to do Kiddushin on his Yevama, which would be with his monies or documents. Shazu Ishtahi, because this is already his wife, Sheknulu Aisa Allah Min Hashemayim, that they acquired to him from heaven. I mean, the moment her husband dies, she's automatically bound to his brother. So, you don't have to do a special Kiddushin. Eliyavela, rather, he cohabits with her, and automatically that they're now considered married. Ksubasa, it doesn't even have to write for her ksuba, because her ksuba, al nichsi bala shemes, is on the estate of her departed husband. Because since this was thrown upon this brother-in-law this type of a marriage. They don't obligate him to have to write his own ksuba from his own assets, that then it's all tied up to his new wife, the Yavama. Rather, it's his brother who departed his estate. Now the Yavam who acquires that, who inherits that, is not allowed to sell from that estate, whether before the Yibam or after the Yibam, because all of that is indebted to his new wife, which was his brother's old wife. But again, if his brother didn't write a ksuba, then he would have obligation to write that of 100 zuz, like any woman that's a ba'ula, and then his estate would be obligated to her. And that the Rambam contains halacha base. Now, let's say, le'ratz liyabim. Let's say he doesn't want to do Yibam like the Pasuk says in Devarim Chafevim, lo yachbetz ish lakachas Yibam, he doesn't want to do Yibam. Or she doesn't want to do Yibam with him. So Hareza Chaytislav, then the mitzvah is the other mitzvah, as we said, the mitzvah to do Chalitzatar. V'achkech timutas le'naslacha, then she's permitted to go out and marry someone else, which that was the third mitzvah, as we said, which is Yibam Chalitza, and not to marry someone else, until, which is a leisa say, until she has Yibam or Chalitza from the Yavam. And this is upon the commandment, as we mentioned in the introduction, to do chalitza im le'rutz liyabim. If it doesn't want to do yibim, somebody says the pasuk, she should remove his shoe, etc., as we'll explain the whole procedure of chalitza in Perek Dalet. Mitzvah yibim kedimus mitzvah chalitza. And the Rambam Shita is, he rules like that mandam in the Gemara, that the mitzvah of yibim to marry the sister-in-law comes before the mitzvah chalitza. Doesn't want to do it, then he do chalitza. Now, halacha gimel. Zeh shenem batar. Now the Rambam clarifies what qualifies for the obligation of Yibam Chalitza. What's the situation of considered that this is appropriate for Yibam Chalitza? So he says, Zesh Namatay, this is in turn over there, Ven Ein Loi, that his brother doesn't have a son. So it's actually not just a son. Echad ben Echad Abbas. It's whether a son or a daughter. Not only that, Oizerah ben Oizerah Abbas. Even if the son or daughter passed away, but the son or the daughter themselves had children. So Hoyle Yesh Leizerah Mekomakim, since they are descendants from his brother. And whether it's from this woman, or from another woman, that would exempt his wife from having to do with his brother, chalitza or yibam. And moreover, even if a child was illegitimate from an inappropriate relationship, or that child is an idol worshiper, doesn't make a difference. Or is a paitas ishtem nachlitza yibam, like it says in the Gemara, that mikal makim, whatever the child's going to be, it's going to exempt his wife from doing chalitza yibam because ultimately there is a descendant from his brother. Now halacha dalad al b'nei min hashivcha min hagoya. But what doesn't qualify for a child is if his brother has a son, the one who passed away, from a maidservant or from a non-Jewish woman. Then in the paita sishah, that does not exempt his wife because shazera b'nei min hashivcha, because the child that a person has from a maidservant are avadim, are considered slaves, and they don't have lineage. It's not considered a descendant of the one who passed away. So the v'abom min hagoya, if someone has a child from a non-Jewish woman, goy. That child is considered a non-Jew. It's as if they're not even around, as if there's no such a child for the descendants of this person. As the Rambam explains, I remember Shidra says regarding a maidservant, that the maidservant, the Eved Yisrael, who could take a maidservant as a wife, the woman and her children, goes to the master. It's not considered his own children. Malamin comes to teach that the children are like her. Regarding non-Jewish woman, it says the pasuk in Devarim Zayin, ki yaster es bintcha me'acher, because they're going to remove your son from after me, which the pasuk previously had been talking about. Don't take the daughter of the non-Jewish man for your son, because what the pasuk is telling you over here, that if you're going to take his daughter for your son, then his father-in-law is going to remove your son from after, because the child's not going to be considered his child. Rather, it's going to be the child of the non-Jewish woman as a non-Jewish child. So Mesa Isa Mulchashabakal, it's being removed as if it's considered part of the Jewish people. Morbus is Ram even more. And even this child who is saying, okay, it's not considered his child. But that child was freed from the son of the maidservant. Or that child from the non-Jewish woman converts to Judaism. So they could say like other converts and freed slaves, which they're considered like a new person, but not considered a descendant of this man, never does not exempt his wife from Yibam Chalitza. Says Ram Hariso comes out, where he adds on a little even more chiddush. So if he had a son from his maidservant, and he frees him and her, and he marries the maidservant, but he dies without any children. So this woman, who when he married ultimately was Jewish, but the child he had from her was before they became Jewish, so that child's not considered his own child, she would have to do yibum to his brother, and even though the son that he had from her was already freed and is already Jewish, it doesn't make a difference, not considered his child, and therefore that maidservant who ultimately became his wife would have to have yibum the chalitza from his brother. Halacha hey, misha meis, someone died, v'nich ishtoy muberes, and he leaves his wife over that's pregnant. So here's where it gets a little more complicated. The Rambam starts describing what the halacha is going to be. Ime pila achar maisai, if she miscarried after he died, so reason is yam. So she's going to have yibum because ultimately her husband died without any viable child. Now, but vim yoldo, but if let's say she gave birth, v'yatzav lo tchai lavar oilam, and the child came out alive to the ear space of this world. Afilam eis b'shoshanot, even though he died the moment he was born, but he was born, it wasn't a stillborn. So the mother is exempt from chalitza and yibum. But based on rabbinic law, it's actually yivad bevada shekol lechadash. It's only until we know most definitely that the 9 months, the months of the pregnancy, have been completed, which is vanilu tish chadash gemurim, that the child was born after a full 9 months. Because avalim loynoy de lekamanol, if we don't know after how long it was that the child was born. So, if the child survived for 30 days, we know that's a viable child. And therefore it exempts the father's wives from chalitza yibim because he died with a child. Even though he died after 30 days, but that was already considered a child. If the child died within 30 days. And on day 30 itself, whether he died from an illness, whether the child fell from a roof, or if a lion ate it, where you would say maybe without these external circumstances the child would have survived, doesn't make a difference. It's still harisa safik, nafil, safik ben kibbutz. We don't know if the child was a viable or non-viable child. We don't know if it would have lived 30 days, which is the mile marker to tell us that it's a viable child. So according to rabbinic law, again, according to biblical law, if the child died even the moment after it was born, it would exempt. But according to rabbinic law, since we don't know if it was definitively a viable child, so we require rabbinically as chalitza, because avalai tisyab, you can't do yibum, because maybe it is a viable child, as it is according to basic biblical law, and that would be a prohibition of him having relations with his forbidden sister-in-law. So therefore, one, however, requires rabbinically that of chalitza. Now, halacha vav, the Rambam continues to qualify what classifies as obligation of yibum. Someone has a brother. Even if that brother is an illegitimate child, which means that he was born from a forbidden union, or he's an idol worshiper, whether he's a minor or an adult, but when from the majority of his head, and from when his head, the majority of his body comes out to the experience of this world, in other words, if he was born, and birth is considered the head and the majority of the body, before his brother passed away, so he was there at the moment his brother, I mean, he didn't have a sibling until literally a moment before, even if it was a moment before that his brother was born. That requires that his wife, the one who passed away, has to have yibum. In other words, what that means to say is, for the law of yibum, meaning that she cannot marry someone else, but most definitely she cannot do yibum to him, because one of the cases we described was that brother is a mamzer. Obviously she's forbidden to a mamzer. It just means that she would be required to have chalitz of him. But in contrast, let's say if the brother was born after his brother passed away, it would not require the sister who didn't yet marry anyone else to have yibum chalitza, because it says in the pasuk, "Kiyishiv achim yachdav," has to be the brothers lived at the same time, as Rambam explains later on. Now, v'mhoyilei achim nashivcha minagoya, similar to what we said regarding having a child, there's two elements regarding yibum chalitza. There's that person who passed away, he has to have not had a child, and he also has to have a brother that could do yibum chalitza. So we spoke about regarding the status of if he has a child or not, regarding a maidservant and a non-Jewish woman. Now we're talking about regarding his brother. If his brother was, because his father had relations with a non-Jewish maidservant or from a non-Jewish woman, so that's not considered his brother for any halacha. Therefore, that does not require his wife, who now her husband passed away without any children, to have to yibum chalitza with him. And moreover, even if this brother, his birth was in Jewish sanctity because his mother converted when she was pregnant with him, with that brother. Since the conception was when she was not Jewish yet, say, in Achav, that's not considered his brother, and therefore it's like there's no brothers over there, she can marry whoever she wants to. Halacha Zayin, moreover, further qualifies the Rambam. Achav min ha'em, if he's a regular brother, but a maternal brother, they share the same mother, not the same father, Again, in chashuv machan, that's not considered a brother. Elala velus, only with the laws of mourning, rabbinically, ula ages and with the laws of testimony, rabbinically, that they're considered brothers, relatives. Avlin Yerusha regarding the laws of inheritance, Avlin Yim Chalitza, which we're discussing over here to do Yim Chalitza. Hareim Kim Yishain, they're like, they're not even there, that like they don't exist as a brother. Shein Ach Ve'elamav, because the law is, it's only considered a brother if they share the same father, what's called a paternal brother. Moreover, continues Rambam, these halachs halachachas, Gemshin is Gairu. If there were converts that converted, non-Jewish brothers that converted together, Bavad Mishan Ashtachar, or if there were slaves that were freed, Elamach Ve'klal, they're not considered as brothers. For him, Kizaram Zelzeh, they consider as foreign as one to another. And the Rambam says a bigger chiddush. Even if one of them is almost a full Jew, meaning he was conceived before the mother, when the mother was pregnant, she converted when she was pregnant with him. And when he was born, she was already a Jewess. And the other brother was already, when she was already Jewish, she conceived and gave birth to him in the state of sanctity. Still, Harim Kizarm, they're considered like foreigners to each other. And moreover, Vilu Ta'imim, even if these are twins, which obviously we know that they share the same father, because it's one seed that splits into two when it creates these identical twins, Vinod Begdusha, and the parents gave birth to them when they were Jewish already, still, Im B'neim Achva, there's no brotherhood. Ashtay Harosim, or it doesn't Begdusha, has to be that the conception and the birth were when the parents were Jewish, that they were in sanctity, and therefore then they're going to be full-fledged brothers. Now, Halacha Tes Rambam continues regarding other qualifications of the ramifications of Yibam and Chalitza. Says the Rambam, Misha Yilei Noshim Rabbis Omesim. Someone had many women, many wives, and he died without any children. So, B'yasa Echalatzasa Shal Achas Men. So, doing Bior Chalitza to any one of the wives, Paiter HaSasashar, that exempts the other ones, and then they're permitted to go and marry other people, because she's like the agent for them all. Now, and the brother-in-law cannot do yibam to two of the wives. Like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, says Asher leyivnes es beis achav, that if he's not going to build the house in the singular of his brother, which tells us by his echad debayna that the option is only to build one of the houses, meaning one of the wives, then the bainish nebatim, and he cannot build two houses. And the same thing is regarding chalitza. Also says beis chalutz anol, could only do chalitza to one and not to two of them. And also, if he had many brothers, only one of the brothers is chalitza or yibam, because he's the agent of the brothers, and he does l'achas miyavam is to one of the wives. The yutrushar tzars, and then all the other co-wives are permitted. So essentially, even though there's many wives and many brothers, it's one brother doing it to one of the wives. Alocha yud. Let's say hayiviyavam is elu. Let's say from these wives that this one who died had, they were ksheves l'kuna psulis. They were the wives that are valid to marry kahanim subsequently, and there are those who are invalid. Meaning, let's say one of the wives he had married was a grusha, or was a divorcee, which is forbidden to a kohen. The widows are permitted to a kohen, but the divorcee are forbidden. So ima miyabim, if this brother-in-law is doing yibum, so miyabim leads the shiur, so he can do yibum whichever one of the wives that he wants to. But the mayuchadz, if he's doing chalitza, yachlis l'psula. Let him at least do chalitza to the one that was already invalid, the divorcee, who anyways couldn't marry a kohen. That he shouldn't invalidate the one that was fit to marry Cain by doing chalitza, because doing chalitza, which is very similar to divorce, actually rabbinically makes the woman forbidden to marry a Cain. And as the Gemara Yibamis tells us, that don't spill out the water from the pit that others need to use. Meaning, if a Cain can marry her, why ruin the option? You're anyways doing chalitza, doesn't make a difference which one you're doing to. Do it to the one that's a grusha, and not ruin the other ones from being able to, any one of the other ones, from being able to do to marry subsequently a Cain. Continue on the when there's more than one wife or more than one brother. Mislo Achen Rab. Let's say a person had many brothers who passed away without children. V'nafum nishra same lefanav. Now their wives of his brothers fall in front of him. So imesh lo liyam miskum. If he could do yibim to all his brothers' wives, so miyabim. If he could provide for them, so let him do yibim. If not, okay, then chalitz kun, he can do chalitz to all them. Oy, or chalitz mishiyitz, he can do chalitz whichever one he wants to. Miyam mishiyitz, he can do yibim to whichever one he wants to. Achas mekal boys, again, but it could only be one from each household. Meaning from any brother, let's say his brother had many wives, and there was many brothers that passed away without any children. So again, he could do chalitz to all, yibim to all, but again, from each household, he cannot do more than one yibim to each to any one of those wives. Halacha yud beis. So now the Rambam moves on. Now, once a person is doing Yibum, Hakayin says Yivimtai. If someone marries his Yivama, so Nesu Tzuriseha Olav, Vashar Achen. So the co-wives, let's say his brother died with four wives, and he's doing Yibim to one of them. So the co-wives become forbidden on that brother who is doing Yibim to one of the wives, and they become forbidden on him, Vashar Achan, and all the other brothers. And Vimbahu Ayachan Ma'achan Al Tzara. So let's say him or one of the other brothers cohabits subsequently with one of the co-wives. Harizalev Basay is violating a positive commandment. Shlomo says in the Pasuk, Yavama Yavay Aleha. Har Yavam should cohabit on her, on this wife whose husband died without any children. What's on this singular? To tell you, Vilay Aleha, Val Tzarasa, but he cannot cohabit with her and with her co-wives. And Valava Bamachal say, a negative prohibition which is derived from a positive commandment is a positive commandment. Mir, it says it in the positive, Yavama Yavay Aleha, on her. The inference is, but not her and her co-wife. That's a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment, has the status as a positive commandment. Let's say some of this chalitza to Zivama. Nesra ha chalitza, so that woman that he did chalitza on, becomes forbidden, he, her, the chalitza say on all her co-wives, ala chalitza on the one who did chalitza, val shahachin, and on all the brothers. V'kulan asur salim, they be safe from kishniyas. And all of them are forbidden on them from rabbinic law, like the secondary arayas. Because the Shittas of Rambam is, this that says in the Pasuk that the Gemara darshins in Yevamos, Ashle Yivnes Beisachem, that he will not build his brother's household. It doesn't say Ashle Bona that he did not build. It says that he will not build. To tell you that since he didn't build, meaning he didn't do Yivni, he did Chalitza, then he cannot, Lo Yivni cannot build it anymore. Because once he did Chalitza, and he did it for all his brothers, and so too the Chalitza was the agent of all the tzaras, so it comes out that they're all forbidden on the brothers, an equal isser of forbidding to now rebuild it anymore. In contrast to the Ramban, and the Zasag and Seven Mitzvahs, actually counts it as a mitzvah, the Raisa of Olei Saseh. But as the Ramban explains, he says, why is it only rabbinically forbidden? Because once his brother died without any children, Nistalik isser ever ma'akal nashad. So the biblical erva of being his brother's wife was removed on all his wives. That's what the mitzvah of Yibim is allowing, because Esa Esha Sachar is forbidden. So once you double down the children, that removes the Esser. L'fikach tevis b'nai kedushin kashniya. So just like a rabbinically prohibited woman, if one would do kedushin, the kedushin would take effect. So to hear, they would take effect on the chalutzais and the tzaris from him or from any one of the brothers. But rabbinically, it's forbidden because once you did chalitza, you're not allowed to rebuild it anymore. Again, which according to the Rambam, that's only a smach ba'amo, that's a rabbinic prohibition. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hachalitza Yivam, the same as chalitza tiz Yivam. Kashem shihi asura love, just like she's forbidden on him. So this is where it's unique now, where we continue regarding once he did chalitza, which besides the what we learned from the pasuk, as we said, that it's Ashalo Yivne, he's not a builder anymore. But Chalitza is also very similar to Gerishin. So uniquely to the brother that's actually doing the Chalitza to the Yavama, Kashem Sheyasur Alav, just like she's forbidden to him, as we mentioned that in the previous halacha, Kach Kreviseha Asur Islam. Also her relatives are also forbidden on him because she's like his divorcee, as the Rambam shortly explains. So therefore, Kugin, for example, Ima, Obita, her mother, her daughter, are forbidden to him. She's forbidden to his son and to his brother. Even her rabbinic relationships are forbidden to him. Going bas bas bita, for example, her daughter's daughter's daughter, which even his real wife, which is his biblical wife, are only those relationships only rabbinically forbidden to him, are also forbidden to this one who did chalitza. She's also forbidden to his son's son's son. As the Rambam says, the rule is here over here. We consider the chalutza as his wife that he divorced. And moreover, not only do we consider this as his gerusha, let's say his yavama died, and she was still bound to him, meaning he hadn't done yibam chalitza and she passed away as the shemeris yavam, which she was waiting for yibam. So Asa B'Krevisa, he's forbidden in her relatives, Kilo Heisa Ishta, you may say, as if she was his wife, and that she died when she was with him, because the Zika for Yibam makes it as if he's married to her. No, but says the Rambam, B'Chalisu Ne'ilim Devrei. Like we said, all these prohibitions are only rabbinic, because even the original source, which is for all the brothers, are at most, the Lashala Yivne is according to Rambam rabbinic, and moreover, this whole thing of treating her like a Grusha, it's not really a Grusha, it's just that it's similar to Grusha. And also says the Rambam, Mutra Adam Lisa Achis Tzaras Chalitzas, a person permitted to marry the sister of the co-wife of the Chalitza. So let's say there's many wives. He does Chalitza to one of them. The co-wife's sister, he's permitted to marry. Ushar Karbiseha, and not just the sister, but all the other relatives, because when he does chalitza to the Yavama, the co-wife doesn't come with her to court. So when he marries the sister of the co-wife, they're not going to say, oh, he's marrying the sister of the chalitza, because no one ever saw the tzar there to know that this is the sister of the one that he did chalitza to. In contrast, as we see in Parag Vav, there's a similar sounding type of a case that actually would be problematic. Halacha Yadal. Us layavim, lisa kreva zukukase. It's forbidden for the yavim to marry the relative of his zukuka. So zukuka is the woman that's bound to, meaning the shemeres yavim, the woman that's waiting, her husband died, and she's waiting for yim chalitza. So the yavim, who has an obligation to do yim chalitza, he's not going to go and just bypass her and marry the relative of this shemeres yavim. For example, imai bita. He's not going to marry the mother or daughter of his yavama. Until one of his brothers does yibim tar, or yachas la does chalitza tahar, then v'sasu zikasi me'alav. Then that's going to remove the connection that they have, because once the brother does yibim chalitza, now obviously there's no connection to any of the other brothers. Oh, then the relatives are permitted to the other brothers. We said the one that actually does the chalitza, he's forbidden the relatives. But we're talking about the other brothers, would subsequently then be permitted, and then v'yisi imo yibita shakurisa. Then he can marry the mother or the daughter or one of the other relatives. Although the oldest relatives are forbidden on the brother that actually did the chalitza the yibim, like we explained in the previous halacha, but for the other brothers that didn't do the actual chalitza, they subsequently then could marry those other relatives. Halacha tezvav. Hakainis es yivimta. Now the Rambam moves on further to qualify when someone actually does yibim. If someone brings into his house the yivama, he marries the yivama. Then the gerusha subsequently divorces her. If he wants to take her back, Yachzi could take her back. And the chiddush that is, we don't say, oh, wait a second, the mitzvah of Yibim that was imposed upon him, he did already, and now he divorced her. Oh, so now she goes back to her prior prohibition of being an Issa of Eshasach, of his brother's wife. We say, no. Once he did Yibim, like it says in the puzzle, L'kacha lo le'isha, once he took her, she's like his wife for all practical purposes. Doesn't have any title at all as the prohibition of being his wife's brother at all. Let me retire, but let me say from not biblically, not rabbinically, it's like his wife, and just like a person divorces his wife, if she didn't marry anyone else into him, in the meantime, he could take her back, so too over here. Now, in Halakha design, the Ram continues regarding qualifying what it considers as a valid yibum, which is essentially a bia of the yavama, the yavama. Says Ram Kavar Be'anim Hilchas Ishus. We already explained in the laws of marriage in Perek Yudav Halacha Gimel Sheben Teshashon Biyam Echad that a 9-year-old Biyaseh Biyah, his cohabitation in Halacha is considered as an act of Biyah. Now the Dov is Halacha Be'akabalah. This is Halacha that we have from tradition, from Mishabin, from Har Sinai. Now the figure therefore, which since the whole Halacha of Yibum depends on the Biyah, so Yavam Katan Shabal Yivimtei. So if there's a minor Yavam, he's under 13. That has relations with his sister-in-law, the Yavama, is at least 9 years old. So he has to maintain her because he acquired her already with his bia, which is valid, and he cannot divorce her with a get because he's a minor, and the get and a minor's get is not has no validity, and neither can he do chalitza, as the Rambam is going to shortly explain. Because Aval Inochel says he cannot do chalitza until he becomes an adult, and you check him to see that he's an adult with his two pubic hairs. Shari ish kasev parashal in chalitza. Specifically, regarding chalitza, the Torah says that he has to be a man. So, regarding the yibum, it's valid, but he can't do gerushin, and neither could he do chalitza until he's an adult. Now, but if he's less than 9 years old, then in biyasa biya, then his cohabitation is not even considered an act of biya, and therefore nothing was done. Now, ubiyas ben tesha shanim. However, in the Kinnigam, but says the Rambam, even the cohabitation of a 9-year-old is not a full-fledged acquisition to be his bona fide wife, to totally remove the zika of Yibim from her, that she should only have to require a get afterwards, because ultimately, although his bia is considered bia, it's considered like what an adult mimer is, which is a rabbinic kedushin for the Yavama, which is not a full-fledged kinya, as Rambam explains later on in the next parak. So the figure, therefore, in Yavimta in the Teres Lazar, the Yavama is not permitted to a foreign, another person, until the Yavam, which was over 9 years old, but under bar mitzvah, until he becomes an adult, and then he divorces her with a get, or until he does chalitza tar when he's an adult without having being with her. And then, he's also going to have to require actually a get for his bia when he was a minor, like someone that does a mimer, which is a rabbinic kedushin for Yavama, where if he doesn't want to do an act of cohabitation, which they require a get for his maimer and the chalitza for the zika, as Ram explains later on in Parakei. Kamash is brought like we explained later on in Parakei in Halacha Chafal. Halacha Yitzayin. V'chein ha-yivama ha-ketana. Now we go the corollary to the girl. Also, if the yivama is a minor. So, emratza yavam liyavam isa, if the yavam wants to do yibum with her, so miyavam, you could do yibum with her. And the chiddush in that is, we're not concerned that maybe she's an islandess, which is not fit to have a child. Comes out that actually she's a iser eshes ach shalei b'mokam mitzvah, because she can't have a child, so therefore that's not valid for yibum. On that, the Rambam is telling us that no, we're not concerned with that, we go after the majority. Most women are not an islandess. Now, aval ein chaletzes, but he cannot do chalitz on her until she becomes an adult, and we check her to make sure she's an adult, because we compare her to him, that just like he has to be an adult for chalitza, so too she has to be. And vafil nivula acher yud beis shana, even if the first husband had be with her after she was 12 years old, still were concerned that maybe she did not bring two pubic hairs when there was bia, and maybe she's still a minor. So the fa'in the chalitzes, therefore, we're going to chalitza, we don't rely on the chazaka that once a girl is already 12 that she's considered an adult. Until we check her and we find that she has the signs, only then can we do chalitza. Halacha yud ches. K'shem she'in ha'yavim chalitz at yase ish, like we said, just like the yavim cannot do chalitza until he becomes a man, the woman cannot do the chalitza until she becomes an adult woman. V'yavim katan shabal yavam ketan. Now let's say they're both minors, meaning they're his is a bia because he's over 9, and she's a yavama that's a minor. So then we bring them up together because he can't divorce her because, again, like we said, the katan's get is not valid. He can't do chalitza because he's not an adult. So comes that he has to remain married with her, and then when they become adults, then if he wants to, he can divorce her with a get, or like we said, chalitza with a get. Halacha yitess. Hayivama loy tesyam loy tachlitz. So now the Rambam further qualifies regarding the requirements when one could go ahead and do yibum and chalitza. So yivama should not do yibum or chalitza should tamtin tishan yem until they first wait after her husband passed away, a period of 90 days. Chutz miyem amiso, miyem a yibum, miyem a chalitza, except for the day when her husband died, and from the end of the 90 days, from when the yavam is going to do yibum or chalitza, kashar kal nashim. Like all of the women that we explained previously in Pegged Alpha Mechaz Gerishin, that a woman has to wait a period of 90 days. Because we have to be able to check out what's the paternity if she's pregnant from the previous husband. Now, but the Rambam explains, why can't she not have chalitza done within 90 days? Chalitza is no concern. Obviously, it's a concern if she was pregnant, because then there's no heter of yibum, and this Issa Eshesach can't marry the brother's wife if he had a child from her. But chalitza is like a divorce, sending her on the way. Why can't you do that within 9 days? Says the Rambam, Nesha ain't a ruli yibum, because during those 90 days, she's not fit to have yibum, because again, she might be pregnant, and it might be a bona fide child, and it comes out, it's a prohibited for him to have relations with her. Now, but Nemet says in the Pasuk in Devarim, V'im lo yachpetz ish l'kach es v'imte, if the man's not going to want to take his sister not to do yibum, v'chaltz anala v'chul, and she's going to take up his shoe, etc. What you see, the Pasuk is putting yibum together with chalitza, to tell you, be'ishi oy l'yibum, only when there's an opportunity for him to do yibum, which is after 90 days, oy l'chalitza, then there's the mitzvah of chalitza that's applicable. But as long as you can't do yibum, in oy l'chalitza, then it's not yet applicable to do chalitza. But v'm yibum ma'isoy chalitza b'techa shleisha chadashim, but if let's say he does yibum or does chalitza within the 3 months, if it turns out that she was not pregnant, then she's exempt, she doesn't have anything to do with her, because ultimately it turns out that it was appropriate to do yibum chalitza because she was not pregnant from her first husband. Halacha chaf. Hacholis li vimtei. Some of this chalitza tis yavama, again, within the 3 months, and because it didn't seem like she was pregnant. Venimtzis, after that, it turns out she is mubar, she is pregnant. Vialada, and she gives birth. So it comes out that really it wasn't appropriate to do chalitza because he left over a child. So there's no halacha of yim chalitza at all. So imha yahavala chal kayama, if the child was a viable child, harizik mishle, next to lamalena. It's like no chalitza was ever done. What, you just took over a shoe? There's no halacha that was applicable. Matasakuna. So then this woman, although we said a chalutz is forbidden to marry a kohen, she's permitted to marry a kohen. And also he's permitting her relatives, because it's not like his chalutza, because you didn't do anything. There was no halacha because there was a child over here. Now, v'mepila, let's say she miscarried. Or even if the child did not last 30 days after she had given birth to him, And also, we don't know if the child was born full term, because if it was born full term, even if he died within 30 days, the mother would still be exempt from chalitza and from yibum. But if it wasn't, and the child didn't last 30 days, chayza b'chaylis la, then he has to go ahead and do chalitza tahar, hu ayechem me'achav, him or one of his brothers, shechalitza muberes, in the chalitza, because the chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza, ovisa muberes, in the yibum, and doing biya on a pregnant woman is not considered valid, because it says, uven ein loy, you have to see if she's pregnant, then she's not someone that could have chalitza and yibum. But again, this is has this element of rabbinic prohibition with this chalitza that was done. But one thing is that the chalitza of the muberes is not valid, and therefore you have to go ahead and do it again. Now, halacha chaval, says Ram Lefikir, therefore, ha-kainis o yecheles levim tam muberes, if someone marries or does chalitza to his pregnant yavama, le-tinasit tzaras ha-chatelitzu, so the co-wife should not get married until the woman gives birth. Why? Because the child does not permit them, as if they have no obligations to the Avam, until the child actually comes up to the ear space of the world. Meaning, when you'd say, you would look at it and you say, wait, either way, what's the problem? Let the co-wife get married, manavshach, because here the Zibim Chalitza, if the child's not viable, and the child is viable, so the child's viable, so there's no obligation. And we should go after the majority of women who the child is viable. And that we say that no, because the child does not permit until actually is born. So until the child is born, there's no halacha of chalitza and yibum, so that's not permitting. And if the child is even going to be born, that's only when the child is actually being born that would permit them to get married. So therefore, the co-wife has to wait until the child is born. Halacha of beis. Hakainis is evim tevim minitzim muberes. Let's say someone does yibum on his sister-in-law. Turns out she's pregnant. So mafrishim, so we separate them because maybe it's going to turn out that the child is viable, and then obviously it's forbidden to be with her because it's his brother's wife without any heter of yim chalitza, and he waits for her. Imipila, if she miscarries, turns out there was no child, so there is a halacha of yim chalitza, so he has to become. He could go back and remain married with her because it is appropriate yibum. The mild, if she gave birth, even if the child dies on the day that he's born, he has to divorce her with a get for the bia that he had with her, because in that regard, it's like he married her. The chalitza, but rabbinically, he has to do chalitza because such a child rabbinically does not exempt the mother from chalitza yime, as we had previously said in halacha hei. And then, after he gives her a get and chalitza, she'll be permitted to marry other people. Now, but let's say the child actually survived 30 days after he was born. That's a definitive, bona fide, viable child. So she doesn't need to have a get from her brother-in-law. She was forbidden as an erva on him. Actually, they need to have a kapar, an atonement for that. And there was no yib, no chalitza. There's nothing over here. So therefore, she doesn't require any chalitza from him, not biblically, not rabbinically. Now, halacha chav gimel. Yaldu la'acha shish chadash min nisyama. Let's say she gave birth after 6 months from when yibum was done. And she gave birth to a vlad shakriyam, a viable child. So the child is a doubt. Because you know, don't know, im ben tisha larishan, is it 9 months from the first husband, from the one that passed away, im ben shiva l'achren, or it's 7 months from the yavam, from the last one. Because at times, a woman who gives birth, there's a 7 month pregnancy, and they give birth like only a partial 7th month, which is really basically 6 months. So although you waited the 3 months, if you did yibum right away, and then 6 months later she gives birth, so we don't know, is this from the yavam, or is it from his brother, the one who passed away? So the figure, therefore, in such a situation, yitzi beget, he has to divorce her with a get, meaning she's forbidden to him, because maybe it's actually the child from her husband who passed away, and therefore she's not an halach of yim chalitza, but she can't remove without a get, because maybe it's a 7 month child from the yavam, which it was an appropriate yibum, it's like his wife. So, out of doubt, you have to give a get. Vavod kasher. Now, the child, either way you look at it, is going to be a viable child because either he's a child of the first husband, which that was his regular father, or from the second one, which would also be his regular father, because that means to say it was an appropriate yibum. Now, but vimbola achar sheyolda. But if let's say he cohabits with her, his sister-in-law, after she gave birth to that child, which we don't know was that his and hence appropriate yibum, or his brother's, and hence forbidden, this woman's forbidden them, Haban Shivo Achrav Sveik Mamzer. So the children that come after him are doubt if they're illegitimate or not, because they might be the son of the first one, of the husband who passed away. That first one might have been a 9-month baby. Comes out that she's really not applicable for Yim Chalitza. She's his Ashes Ach, Shalei B'Makam Mitzvah, and therefore the subsequent children will be at least a Safik if they're considered Mamzerim or not.